kind of goes back into just a routine life where we miss the wonder of the Lord. We miss the beauty of the Lord and the splendor of the Lord. And you find out as you go down the road a little bit, you go on this Christian journey, there's just a lot of things that are trying to get us off track. There's so many things as we go down this journey of faith that we battle against, that we fight against. And I like what somebody once said, it's not how high you jump, but it's how straight you walk. And I think that's really, really important. The Christian life is better equated to a distance race than it is a sprint. And so we're going to look in chapter 11. It's a real odd, strange chapter. We're probably not going to get through the whole thing tonight. It goes through 40 verses. But we're going to look at it from the perspective of the importance of continuing on. We see that as we go through this chapter. But I would encourage you to read it because it takes some strange twists in it. And we probably won't get to the strange stuff tonight. We'll see how we do, but we have communion tonight and everything. But tonight we're going to talk about continuing on. We're going to start that. And I'd like us just to be thinking about the things that maybe would cause us to not continue on or to stumble for a moment or be something that it maybe is going on in our life right now that we have to break through a barrier or something that is keeping us from moving forward. A lot of you are familiar with Jeremiah 29:11. I love that verse. That verse is one that I always have in my back pocket. It basically says that God has a plan for us. He knows what He's doing. And His plan is for good and not for evil. And I think that's important as we look at this section of Scripture that we think about continuing on because God does have a plan. That's how we continue on. Tonight, as we start this section of Scripture, it's important if we're going to talk about continuing, it's important first to have a target to continue at. Now, Paul talked a lot about running the race, pressing forward to the upward calling, pressing on, not looking back, that sort of thing. And so it's important for us to think about tonight what direction are we headed and where do we continue to go? Because a lot of times if we don't have that fixed, then we can become people who just kind of drift along with the tides of the ocean. But instead, we're to be people who have a very specific direction that we're going. Our compass is fixed on a certain point. And we live our life with that in mind at all times. And when we fail to have that set, then we can become people who become susceptible to being tossed to and fro. So think about that. And think about the general goal that we have as believers, the general direction that we're to continue on, and that's always moving forward to Jesus Christ in our relationship with Him. And that's for all of us. But secondarily to that, every one of us has a specific calling that I really think it's important for us to seek the Lord about. Why does He have Dave on the earth? Why does He have Kenny on earth? Why does He have Jackie on earth? We have to think about, why does God have us here? And Paul was fortunate because after he got saved, he figured out and was aware of what that was for him, his specific calling. But we all have that. So generally, we're all moving towards the upward calling in Christ. We're moving towards Him, our motion, our direction, our thoughts, our heart, our mind, our souls should be heading in direction of Christ. And then specifically, we all have a specific thing that we're here for. And then as we have that set in our life, as we know what that is, And if you don't, it's okay, but I would encourage you to pray and ask God to reveal that to you. Because when you discover why you are here on earth and you begin to live for that reason, it really changes a lot of things. And probably a lot of us don't know exactly what that thing is, and that's okay. But seek the Lord about that. And ask God to show you why you're, what your purpose is on earth, because He does have a plan. That's Jeremiah 29:11. That God does have a plan. And so when we have that, we can continue because God does have a plan. See, if He doesn't, it's pretty hard to continue, right? If He doesn't have a plan, He doesn't have it all figured out. But see, we can continue because He has a plan. That's why we can continue. And so those obstacles that come up in our life are things that are merely put in place so that you and I would continue through them and continue to grow and to be strengthened. Because when we have our general focus in mind and our specific calling in mind, our whole direction of our life is moving in that direction, then nothing else really matters. And that's why Paul, if you remember in the book of Acts, a prophetess wrapped up his hands and bound him. And she said, if you go to Jerusalem, that's what they're going to do to you. And you know, Paul said, if that's what they're going to do to me, it's not going to change what I'm called to do. I'm still going to go to Jerusalem. And you know what he said? Because I don't count my life dear to me. See, he was able to continue because he wasn't living for his life. He was living for the specific calling that God had in his life. And so we're just going to start getting into this a little bit tonight. We'll probably be able to finish next week. But chapter 11, let's take a look at this. We're going to look at our ninth judge, Japheth. Our ninth judge. We're talking about continuing on because God has a plan. Now, Japheth, the Gileadite, was a mighty man of valor, but he was the son of a harlot, and Gilead begot Japheth. Now, Gilead's wife bore sons, and when his wife's sons grew up, they drove Japheth out and said to him, "You shall have no inheritance in our father's house, for you are the son of another woman." And then Japheth fled from his brothers, and he dwelt in the land of Tob. And worthless men banded together with Japheth, and they went out raiding with him. Okay, so what we're seeing here is a guy who is up against some very specific obstacles. He was born with his mom being a prostitute. And his dad then had other sons with his wife. So he was the son of his dad from a prostitute. And then his dad had other sons who didn't care for him much. So what we see as we start to see this picture develop, we see a guy very disadvantaged. You notice in the beginning, he had family problems. He was the son of a harlot. He was brought into a family where all the other brothers were united. And he was the odd man out. He was the black sheep. He didn't quite fit in the same. And not only that, they wanted to drive him out. They didn't want him to be a part of their group. Imagine what that would be like, being part of a family and just not feeling like you belong. Feeling like everybody wants you away. And here we have the actual moment where they wanted to drive him out. But imagine this, the feeling, the sentiment had probably been boiling, had been stewing for years. So he grew up in an environment where there's some very heavy duty family problems. Those family problems caused Japheth to be driven out. So they basically put so much pressure on him, made him feel as if he wasn't wanted, that they drove him out to be on his own. I'm not sure how old he was at this point. But it says that because of that, he would have no inheritance. So not only was he having family issues, he was also having probably financial issues. And so a guy like this, who he had a specific reason he was put on earth, and he was a guy that was really good at war stuff. And now he was misdirected and misguided because of his family problems, because of his financial problems. And so he ends up hooking up with people that were reckless, careless, useless people. So not only did he have family problems and financial problems, he had friend problems. So this guy, you think, as you start off the story, he has everything against him. And that's what really we see in this first section. It's continuing on because God has a plan when all the odds are against us. I really think it's important that we understand that God is not into statistics, and God is not into things that on paper may look like we have the best opportunity to succeed or not to succeed. And I really think that's neat about the Lord. The key for Japheth was that he would continue on because God had a plan. Now, it would be really easy for him to get bitter. It would be really easy for him to say that he is a victim of his family problems and to quit and to stop and to not continue to move on. It would be really easy to do that. And then when the financial problems kicked in and then he starts hanging around the wrong people who are probably really negative and really keeping him down, getting him involved in the wrong things, you think this guy has no hope. But see, what we find in this chapter is if we just need to continue on because God does have a plan. So this wasn't the whole story for this guy, right? This was just the way it started out. This wasn't his whole life and the way it was going to end up. This was just the obstacles on his road, on his journey. And so as we continue the story in verse 4, it came to pass after a time that the people of Ammon made war against Israel. And so it was when the people of Ammon made war against Israel that the elders of Gilead, they went to get Japheth from the land of Tob. And they said to Japheth, "Come, be our commander, that we may fight against the people of Ammon." So he's now being recruited back by the very same people who kicked him out. Why? Because they were in trouble. They needed a man that knew how to fight. They needed a man who was able to come into their situation and lead them in battle. They probably should have thought about that before they kicked him out. But envy and bitterness is not often very rational. And so now they're asking for him back. It's real good just to put yourself in the position of these characters here. How do you think you would feel if you're Japheth? I would kind of probably feel like, too bad. Let them destroy you. Let them have their way with you. That sort of attitude. But see, it was important for him to continue on. Why? Because God had a plan. Be real easy for him to do what I just said. But God had a plan in all this. We always have to keep that in mind. So in verse 6, they said to Japheth, "Come, be our commander, that we may fight against the people of Ammon." And Japheth said to the elders of Gilead, "Did you not hate me and expel me from my father's house? Why have you come to me now when you are in distress?" And the elders of Gilead said to Japheth, "That's why we have turned again now to you, that you may go with us and fight against the people of Ammon and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead." So Japheth said to the elders of Gilead, "If you take me back home to fight against the people of Ammon, and the Lord delivers them to me, shall I be your head?" Seems kind of strange, doesn't it? Now all of a sudden they want him to be their leader, their commander. He can be the ruler now when they kicked him out of the family. It's just a strange thing. But see, God does have a plan. And to God, things like that are not strange. To us, when we get into certain places in our life, and it seems like everything is stacked against us and the odds are against us, continue on because God has a plan. You're not in a situation in a way where God is not noticing, God is not working, God is not moving in that situation. So sometimes we just need to continue on. Continue on, why? Because overall we have a direction that we're going in life, and specifically we have a specific calling in life. I always think about Paul and how many twists and turns his life took, but he continued on because his life was completely in the hands of God and he knew God had a plan. And we saw how that worked out. And so in verse 10, the elders of Gilead said to Japheth, "The Lord will be a witness between us if we do not do according to your words." So they basically promised that he would be their leader. And then Japheth went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and commander over them. And Japheth spoke all the words before the Lord at Mizpah. And so what we see in that very first section is we see the importance of continuing on when all the odds are against us. Now, as we move into this next section, we're going to see that the importance of continuing on when the enemy challenges us. Why? How can we do that? You guys help me out on this one? Because God has a plan. So how can we continue on when the enemy challenges us? It's because God has a plan. That's why. Well, watch this. Now, Japheth sends messengers to the king of the people of Ammon. So now, he's commander. He's put in charge. And we got this conflict going on. We have this military thing kind of setting itself up. The people of Ammon are not happy. And they want the land back. And so now we have the commander-in-chief, Japheth, in his position. And he sends messengers out to send a message to those in Ammon. And here's what they say. "What do you have against me that you have come to fight against me in my land?" And I think that's interesting because I can see how we can feel this way when Satan begins to buffet us or to oppose us or to challenge us. That we can see, sometimes we can say, "Why are you after me? Why are you interested in me?" And we often get surprised when things like this happen. And so we just need to know the importance of having our battle on, our armor on, and being ready for battle, because there's going to be times where Satan comes out to challenge us. And that's all it is. It's a challenge. Now, the interesting thing is when Satan challenges us, it's sort of like when our computers get a virus. Has anybody had a virus in their computer before? Can I see a show of hands? Way too many people, right? I've had that too. But see, the thing is, when you get, a lot of times the way we get viruses is when an email comes or with an attachment and we open it up and then it spreads, right? But see, it's sort of like that. Use that as an analogy with Satan. He comes to our life and begins to challenge us. But we have to open up that email and we have to involve ourselves in whatever that temptation is. If we never do, we never get infected. We never get the virus. Because Satan has no power over us, no dominion to control us. So what it comes down to is when we open up whatever he is bringing our way. And then we get into it. So that's how he tempts us. He can't make us do anything. He has no power over us like that. But what he can do is entice us, make that attachment look really interesting and enticing, so we click it open. The key is not to click it open. But see, the devil comes and he challenges us. That's what we're seeing here in this section. But the reason and the way that you and I can continue forward is, again, because God has a plan for us. That's why we don't need to involve ourselves in sin and the things of this world. That's why we don't have to go about living our life trying to find satisfaction in the world and trying to indulge our flesh. It's because God has a plan. That's why we don't need to. And that's not part of the plan. that only messes up the plan. And so we see in this section in verse 13 that the king of Ammon, of the people of Ammon, he answered the messengers of Japheth. And watch what he says. This is interesting. He says, because Israel took away my land when they came up out of Egypt. So here's the challenge right here. The message sent back from the king of Ammon was that the children of Israel took their land, which is a lie. And so here we see the spin of the enemy, and this is how one of the ways that he tempts us is by continually tempting us with his lies. And his lies can take on a lot of different shapes and forms. But he'll come and he'll lie to us. He'll tell us that God doesn't have a plan. He'll tell us that it doesn't matter if we sin, because nothing matters. He'll tell us to give up. He'll tell us to quit. He'll tell us not to continue on. He'll tell us it's hopeless. He'll tell us it doesn't matter. Those are all the things that he comes and lies. But I want to encourage you, don't open up that attachment, because the devil is the author of lies. Don't open it up. Why? Because God has a plan. That's why. And that's not part of it. And so we see this attack, a lie, and we're going to develop that a little more as we go along, that lie. But that wasn't true. And so he sends back this message, and it basically about the fact that they took the land. But watch what he says in. He says in verse 13, kind of in the middle, let me read that again. Because Israel took away my land when they came up out of Egypt from the Arnon as far as Jabbok to the Jordan. He says, now therefore, restore those lands peaceably. So see, now we see him sort of threatening. Fear is another way Satan is going to work to get us off track, to get us not to continue. Fear. Are we fearing things today? Is there something tonight that we're afraid of, that we have anxiety about, that we maybe are losing sleep about? I want to encourage you tonight to continue, because God has a plan in all that. And you don't need to open that attachment. You don't need to be plagued with fear, because God has it all worked out. But you see how the enemy keeps coming in with these different lies, and then fear. He's threatening them. But you know, Japheth, I don't know if he really knew this at this moment, but I think he did. He didn't have to worry about the threats or the lies, because he knew God had a plan to use him for victory for the children of Israel. So he knew that. Now for you and I, we may not know the specifics of how he's going to use us or how he's going to work in our life, but it's the same thing. He's going to use us for victory. He's going to use us to bring glory to his name. And whatever we may fear right now, it's simply something that the devil is looking to use in our life so that we would not continue. But what else does he use? Watch this. In verse 14, so Japheth again sent messengers to the king of the people of Ammon, and he said to them, thus says Japheth, Israel did not take away the land of Moab, so this is the true story, nor the land of the people of Ammon. For when Israel came up out of Egypt, they walked through the wilderness as far as the Red Sea. They came to Kadesh, and then Israel sent messengers to the king of Eden, saying, please let me pass through your land. That doesn't sound like they're trying to take the land, does it? You guys may remember that story. They're just basically saying, can we pass through your land? But the king of Eden would not heed. In a like manner, they sent to the king of Moab, but he would not consent. So Israel remained in Kadesh. So they couldn't pass through because they wouldn't let him. So they stayed where they were. In verse 18, it says, and they went along through the wilderness, and they bypassed the land of Edom, and the land of Moab, and they came to the east side of the land of Moab, and they camped on the other side of Arnon. But they did not enter the border of Moab, for the Arnon was the border of Moab. Then Israel sent messengers to Sihon, the king of the Amorites, the king of Heshbon, and Israel said to him, please let us pass through into our place. They were trying to go to the promised land. They're just looking for a little shortcut here. But Sihon did not trust Israel to pass through his territory. So Sihon gathered all his people together and camped in Jahaz and fought against Israel. So who's attacking who here now? And the Lord God of Israel delivered Sihon. So now God works on behalf of the children of Israel. Why? Because God had a plan. So he works, even though they wanted to cut through these people's land and they weren't allowed to, and that put them in a vulnerable military position, it didn't matter because God had a plan. And so in verse 21, God and the Lord God of Israel delivered Sihon and all the people into the hand of Israel, and they defeated them. Thus Israel gained possession of the land of the Amorites. So that's how they actually got that land. They were attacked and they won. And that's how they got the land. But do you see how the devil is trying to spin that? Do you see how he was bringing these attacks, these lies, and trying to cause them to fear when that wasn't even true? But Japheth was okay. Why? Because he didn't open the attachment. Why didn't he open the attachment? Because God had a plan and that wasn't part of it. Verse 22. So they took possession of all the territory of the Amorites from the Arnon and to the Jabbok, and from the wilderness to the Jordan. And now the Lord of Israel has dispossessed the Amorites from before his people, Israel. Should you then possess it? So should they give it back? They attacked them and they beat them, and now they're living in the land. Should they give it back? Verse 24, will you not possess whatever Chemosh your God gives you to possess? So he's now kind of challenging them on the power of their God. And he's saying, why don't you just take what your God gives you, which is nothing. So whatever the Lord our God takes possession before us, we will possess. I like that. I really like that. Whatever God gives us, that's what we're going to take. That's something to note, maybe make a little mark in your Bible. Because I see that as important for us as believers. I see that as important for our church. We're not going to go out and take our own land. But you know what? Whatever God wants to give us, we're going to take all of that. And may we be faithful to take everything that he's given us. And so in verse 25, and now, are you any better than Balak, the son of Zippor, the king of Moab? Did he ever strive against Israel? Did he ever fight against them? While Israel dwelt in Heshbon and its villages, in Aar and in its villages, and in all the cities along the banks of the Arnon for 300 years, why did you not recover them within that time? So this whole thing is taking place 300 years later, after Israel's been in the land that long. And it's interesting because that's sometimes how the devil works. He's patient. And he looks to get in areas of our life that maybe we become weak in. But he's willing to wait. If there's areas of our life that we haven't given over to the Lord, he'll wait. 300 years. And now he's bringing this attack upon him. And it's funny, isn't it, how life sometimes can just be pretty smooth and then things come out of nowhere. You know, it's interesting about that. That's often one of the strategies of Satan. If you look at the story of the Good Samaritan, when the Good Samaritan helped the guy that was attacked, that word that was used for the attack that went on with the Good Samaritan, it was a word that would speak about its suddenness and how unexpected it was and how it came out of nowhere. But that same word is used in James chapter 1 verse 1 when it says, count it all joy, my brethren, when you go through these various trials. That word is the same type of thing that you and I, a lot of the trials that we go through are ones to where we're blindsided, we don't see them coming, they're not expected. But if you and I are rooted and grounded in the Lord, then we become immovable because God has a plan in all that. And you and I don't need to be shaken or rattled. That's what we see going on here. Now watch this. In verse 26, it says, verse 27, he says, watch this. Therefore, I have not sinned against you, but you wronged me by fighting against me. That's Japheth. He says, may the Lord, the judge, render judgment this day between the children of Israel and the people of Ammon. However, the king of the people of Ammon did not heed the words which Japheth sent him. The last little thing we saw fear in there. We saw lies. The last thing he's challenged with is doubt. But see, Japheth didn't buckle to this because he didn't have doubt. Japheth seemed like he understood and knew why he was called. He understood he had a purpose in what he was doing. Even though his life started off on the wrong foot, he would continue forward and God would continue to work in his life because he had a plan and all that. And now we see Japheth, his strength and his courage in standing up against these attacks and realizing, do you see what's happening there at the very end? He's putting his God up against their God. Do you see that? That's the key. He had a confidence in his God. And he realized that no weapon formed against him would prosper because he was going and doing in the name of the Lord. Because of that, he didn't need to look back. He didn't need to look to the side. He didn't need to fear. He didn't need to cower down, but he had boldness and strength and he could continue forward because God had a plan. And so tonight, I just want to end there. We're going to take communion tonight. And I want us to really chew on this, meditate upon this. And think about what Jesus said and what enabled him to continue forward. You may recall that Jesus said it was for the joy set before him that he endured the cross. You know, what that means is that the things in our life, we can all admit that they're not fun, that they're not enjoyable. And Jesus even said the cross wasn't enjoyable, but it was for the joy set before him that he endured it. And the scripture tells us because of Christ's sacrifice that you and I can have fellowship with the sufferings of Christ. Now that's really something to think about and meditate upon. That's some pretty heavy duty stuff right there to think about that. But we have the opportunity to have that same kind of koinonia, a closeness with Christ, as we endure things in our life as well. And as we take communion tonight, let's have it anchored deep in our hearts and our minds as we leave today that God does have a plan. God spoke of that plan in the book of Genesis thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago. And he developed that plan through the children of Israel, through the formation of that nation, through the deliverance in the Red Sea, through the tabernacle periods in the wilderness, into the promised land, on out through their captivities, of their different captivities, to the destruction of their temple, to the 400 years of silence after the prophets would proclaim the name of the Lord, and then John the Baptist in fulfilling all the Old Testament, he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Why was he able to say that? Because God was working out his plan. And now, as we continue forward, God is still working out his plan. And as children of God, we are part of that plan. We are His children. He's working now towards the rapture of the church. But in the meantime, He has a very specific role and plan for each one of us tonight. And I believe the Lord will be coming quickly. We're to pray that He comes quickly. We're to look for His return. But in the meantime, as we meditate on the cross tonight, on His sacrifice, that tells us something. It tells us that all of history was working towards a plan. All of the present now is working out the plan. And all the future is working to continue to fulfill the plan. So I ask you, whom shall we fear? If God be for us, who shall be against us? Father, we thank You for tonight. We thank You for Your word, and we thank You that You have a plan and that we're anchored in it, Lord. I pray tonight for this congregation, these people, Your beloved sheep who You look down upon, who You have every one of their tears in a bottle. You have them numbered, Lord. You know their pain. You know their struggles. You know their concerns. You know their obstacles that they're facing, Lord. But Lord, You have a plan. And You're working all things together for good. And Your cross proved that. Your cross proved that Your plan, even though at the worst possible moments where it seemed like disaster was upon them, that moment became the greatest moment in human history. Father, anchor our hope in You. Father, shake off the complacency and the cobwebs and the worldliness and the things of this life that entangle us and ensnare us, Lord. And let us live holy, completely, 100% for our Master. Let's worship the Lord. We'll have the guys pass out the communion. Hang on to it. We'll take it together.